This briefing is sponsored by Deloitte. Business process with less process. See what's possible when data and automation come together to help reinvent workflows. Visit Deloitte.com/US/onlyseepossible.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, January 17th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal in New York. Jeff Bezos is on the offensive in India. The term offensive, that is. The CEO of Amazon is working to get around regulations so that his company can continue to expand in the country. And this week, he announced another $1 billion investment there. Reporter Nuli Purnell joins us from Delhi to explain. That's up in a minute. But first, let's check some headlines. Microsoft is also pledging $1 billion. To reduce carbon emissions, a major cause of climate change. The software giant has said it would implement changes so that by 2030, Microsoft and its suppliers would be carbon negative. That means they'll reduce more carbon emissions than they produce. And by 2050, CEO Satya Nadella says the company plans to remove the equivalent of all of the carbon the company has ever emitted. The announcement represents an industry-leading move, and it comes as businesses everywhere are under increased pressure from consumers and regulators to reduce their carbon footprints. Bitcoin is back. The cryptocurrency has been climbing towards $9,000. That's a 20% increase since the beginning of 2020. It's the best New Year rally for Bitcoin since 2012. Experts say the bump could be tied to a rise in enthusiasm for cryptocurrencies across the board. Earlier this month, hackers exploited a vulnerability in the currency exchange company Travelex, and they leveraged it to install ransomware. On Thursday, the cybersecurity firm Bad Packets revealed that dozens of other firms shared the same software vulnerability as Travelex. The list includes Purdue Pharma, Revlon, and Texas Instruments. Bad Packets also said that as of last week, many of those organizations hadn't addressed the issue, even though a patch was made available in April. And the Wall Street Journal reports exclusively that when Amazon began its search for a second headquarters in 2017, senior executives set another goal, raking in $1 billion in government economic incentives, in addition to the incentives for its HQ2 project. State and local governments often offer economic incentives to attract and then keep companies in their communities, usually in the form of tax credits. But a recent study showed that these big deals rarely actually generate a matching economic benefit for the communities. Amazon's executive team planned to use the money from economic incentives to finance other real estate projects. This Amazon expansion is also going global. We'll talk about their moves in India with reporter Nuli Purnell. That's after the break.
This briefing is sponsored by Deloitte. On podcasts, you hear a lot about what's possible, but one thing is certain. No business or city achieves their possible alone. That's why Deloitte collaborates with a vast ecosystem of alliances in everything from systems hardware to cloud platforms, data migration to analytics, AI to VR. Collaboration, it's one key way to turn possible into actual. Learn more at Deloitte.com/US/onlyseepossible.
Amazon has been pushing into India lately. Despite challenges from lawmakers in the country, the company has been pouring money into building out its operations there. Earlier this week, CEO Jeff Bezos paid a visit and went on stage sporting an indigo colorless Indian jacket, which was famously worn by India's first Prime Minister Nehru, to announce an even bigger investment, $1 billion. Here to explain more is our reporter Nuli Purnell out of New Delhi. Nuli, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So, why was Jeff Bezos making this announcement? What's this money for?
Well, he said at an event here in Delhi that the money is going to be used to, in his words, help digitize India's smaller merchants. In India, there's a huge unorganized economy of mom and pop shops and individual sellers. And Amazon has been trying to get these folks online onto Amazon so they can sell their goods on their program. And he says that they've made a lot of progress doing that and that he wants to spend another $1 billion to continue the job.
So what impact could that money have on those small businesses? Good or bad or mixed?
It probably depends on who you ask. I mean, Amazon would say, we want to continue going to these sellers and helping them get online. You have to remember that only about a half of India's 1.3 billion people are even on the internet yet. So a lot of people have never sold online, much less, sent an email or watched a video online. So it's pretty new to a lot of people. So they would say it's going to make a big difference and we're going to continue doing it. Now, the smaller e-commerce startups or the regular brick and mortar shops would say Amazon is just trying to squeeze everybody else the way that they've squeezed everybody else in other places and that they're being disingenuous. Really what they want is more business for Amazon and they want a bigger piece of India's online selling pie.
We talked in the beginning about the fact that Jeff Bezos' charm offensive in the region has gotten a lot of pushback. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so when Amazon launched here several years ago, India was very much an open market to foreign American internet companies in a way that China, another big billion person plus economy, has never been. And so they came in all guns blazing. They were up against a big local startup. And so they grew very quickly. But in recent years, under pressure from some of Amazon's rivals here, both regular shops and also other online retailers, and after Walmart in 2018 bought Flipkart, which was the biggest domestic e-commerce company at the time, regulators started to try to tighten the rules a little bit on how you could sell things online. We've seen this in other areas as well, whether it's storing data in India or other issues that affect big foreign companies. India is starting to say, hey, wait a second, now 80% of our online sales are going to Amazon and this big company that's now owned by Walmart, and we need to maybe level the playing field a little bit more and make it easier for our own players.
Didn't India's antitrust watchdog just order an investigation into Amazon and Walmart?
That's right. That was earlier this week. They've also, as I said, sort of tightened the rules on how and what you can sell online. It seems that every month that goes by, there are new challenges for the likes of Amazon in India.
So we talked a little bit tongue-in-cheek about the fact that Bezos was dressed up in a Nehru jacket for this presentation. Are we really seeing him trying to woo not just the politicians and lawmakers and regulators, but also India itself?
Absolutely. You have to remember, this is a huge promising market. They are under pressure here. Of course, Amazon famously talks about, planning for the future and that, small roadblocks that come along the way aren't going to slow them down. But it really was remarkable. He posted Bezos a video to Twitter when he arrived, paying tribute to Gandhi. He was dressed in Indian garb. He posted a video later of him flying kites with children. And then at this event in Delhi, he was all decked out in kind of local clothing. He lit a candle at the end, a sort of ceremonial candle. He kind of clasped his hands together and bowed before the audience and talked about the importance of India in the world. India really wants to become a leading power in the world. And he talked about how he has a prediction, which is that India, that the 21st century is going to be the Indian century. So very much playing to a local audience.
Why is that? I mean, you talked about the big market, but just for people who aren't really following India, why is India so strategic for Amazon?
Well, if you're a big internet company, big consumer internet company, whether it's Amazon or Google or WhatsApp or Apple or Facebook, the name of the game really is growth. And so a lot of these companies, for a lot of them, growth has sort of plateaued in big developing markets. So as they look around the world and say, where's our growth going to come from in the coming decades, they see that they can't get into China, and they look at India and they say, here's an enormous company, an enormous country whose internet economy is only now developing. So, half of people here are online, that's it. There's still 500 or 600 million people who have never used any internet service. And so, looking toward the future, it is the single biggest pool of people who could become potential customers of some of these companies. It's very mobile first. People getting online here are doing it on smartphones. Mobile data has become very cheap, so people can stream music and video, and we're really seeing this huge boom in the consumption of video and content and online shopping.
What are we hearing now from lawmakers about this new investment, this new initiative? Are they pushing back against this as well?
Yeah, some today have sort of poured cold water on it and just said it's just basically empty rhetoric, and that, again, sort of playing the nationalistic card, saying, you know, we have internet companies, you know, e-commerce companies, and we have our own sellers and mom and pop shops that we need to worry about. And so they've kind of dismissed it. But again, they're talking to their own local audience as well, which is the voters. They're very much have been playing the tech nationalism card and talking about things like data sovereignty and wanting to enable Indian internet companies to grow and to not be stifled by these huge global American behemoths.
Fascinating. Nuli Purnell, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And that was your tech news briefing. Quick programming note, Monday is Martin Luther King Day. We won't be on the air that day, but we'll be back in your feed on Tuesday. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal in New York. Thanks for listening.